Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's Christmas meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So far, some text. May be seated. In Christ Jesus, the most unique baby in the history of this world, dear fellow redeemed. The birth of the baby has arrived. Last night we heard our young children ask the question, who gets to hold the baby? Thankfully we heard that not only did God the Father, Joseph, Mary, and the shepherds get to hold the baby, but so do we, through faith. What is so great? What is so special about this baby? This baby is so special and so great because the cross and the cradle also held him. This baby was born in order to die for us. Or as a little poem says, little baby on the hay, soon there'll be another day, when nails shall pierce your hands and feet, as you provide our sins' defeat. Even though we know this message so very well, most of us can recite Luke chapter 2 the drop of a hat, as you did, what, one Wednesday in Advent, when Pastor Radical was here. And yet it is so amazing and so astounding that God the Son left his throne in heaven in all of his almighty power, emptied himself to become a human being like you and me, born in a stable and laid in a manger. But looks are deceiving. If Jesus came into this world as the humble Savior to suffer and die for us, but this little baby is also the everlasting, victorious King. God certainly works in strange and wonderful ways to accomplish his salvation, ways that man would never conceive of. Mankind would think that God would deliver his people through some famous, powerful people like King David, Solomon. But God does it through a baby, born in a stable. A child of a poor mother, and yet the child of God. We read again verse 6 of our sermon text. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In these verses we see that this child is given four special names that describe for us his attributes, his characteristics. And these names are broken down into four separate parts of two words each. The first is, he's called a Wonderful Counselor. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. But Jesus is the Word. In him and his Word, we have the most wonderful counsel. We're told that his Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Are we burdened? Distressed? Are we depressed? Confused? Aimless? In turmoil? In throes of despair? Turn to the Word for counsel. And His Word not only gives us faith to believe in Jesus, but the power to walk and follow Him in joy. And Jesus also carries out His plan, His wonderful counsel, by accomplishing our salvation for us. And this little child is able to do all of this because he is also the mighty God. As you and I know, Jesus is both God and man in one person. Another unreasonable thing, something that we just need to believe. God and man together in one person. He's tired. He sleeps. He eats. He's hungry. And yet, can raise the dead. Calm the storm. This God-man has the power to carry out our salvation. He's the mighty war hero. That's what the word there mighty means. A war hero who has come to conquer all of our enemies. By his resurrection from the dead, he destroyed sin, death, Satan, and hell. He led captivity captive. In fact, Jesus assures us in John 16, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." The Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 2, "And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it," meaning in the cross. This little child is the mighty God. He's also given the name Everlasting Father. It doesn't mean that he is the Father. He's separate and distinct from the Father. This is the Son of God. But he has the same kind of love and concern and care for us as the Heavenly Father has for his children. We hear the term Everlasting Father for Jesus. We think of the Spirit's using David to draw for us that beautiful picture in Psalm 23. He's not just a shepherd. He's the good shepherd. The good shepherd that cares and loves his sheep so much that he's willing to lay down his life for his own sheep. Jesus tells us that he had the same love for us as his Father did in John 15. "As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love." This love of Jesus is eternal. It is unconditional. It never ends. It's not dependent upon our behavior. It's dependent upon who Jesus is. His mercy. His grace for us lost sinners. And the fourth name for this little child is the Prince of Peace. Jesus has destroyed all the evil powers of this world, and he has brought peace. He rules over us as king now with peace. He's brought together us and holy God, us sinners and holy God, and made peace between the two. He brought this about by paying the price of our sins and satisfying God's justice upon the cross. Last night we heard the angels proclaim to us, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And Paul tells us in Ephesians 2, "For he himself is our peace. By abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations, thus making peace to God through the cross, he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near." This peace that Jesus gives to every single one of us who believe in him calms our fears, calms our worries, settles us, fulfills us, assures us of a blessed life, both here and hereafter. And then finally, in our text, Isaiah tells us that this rule of Christ and his peace in our hearts will never end. We read in verse 7, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." The people of Isaiah's day who heard this, who had been under bondage and oppression, could look forward to that child. But we who are under the bondage of our own sinful flesh, the fear of death and the oppression of Satan, look back upon that child with eyes of faith. And we see Jesus, the God-man, who established justice and righteousness, who's established his kingdom, his rule in our hearts, through his powerful word. He endured God's damnation, which all of us deserve because of our sins. The guilt and punishment of our sins was placed upon him as our substitute, and through his willing suffering and death, he satisfied God's justice forever. Jesus' perfect obedient life and his sacrificial death upon the cross is the foundation upon which God's kingdom is built. And what is his kingdom? It's his holy Christian church. It's his rule in the hearts of his believers. Are this child king who died for us, through faith in him, he establishes his kingdom in our hearts, now and throughout eternity. God cannot punish us for our sins because he already punished his son for us. That's why the cross must always be proclaimed whenever the cradle is shown. Because the cradle without the cross means nothing. What a joy for every one of us this morning and throughout our life, his subjects, to know that the righteousness of God is through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's the bad news. The good news, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The divine judge's gavel came down for its verdict, and because of Christ's death and resurrection, the victorious king, the judgment is not guilty. There is peace between the sinner and the righteous, holy God. What a blessing that is as we look around at the world. And what we see is trouble, violence, war, strife, suffering, evil, wickedness, turmoil, disease, sin, immorality, hatred, murder, deceit, cruelty, injustice, sadness. And we go on and on. There is one to whom we can turn to for peace. A peace that speaks to our hearts and to our minds, that removes our sins and our selfish hearts, that calms our hearts, calms our fears, our worries, and our concern. The victorious King forever brings us that peace. May that be the Christmas peace that's in your heart and in mine, not only this Christmas season, but throughout your lives. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.